Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And everyone wants to know what on earth is happening in America and what is happening in the world. The nation seemed to be going in every different direction. And war is possible almost at any time. Here we thought, oh, there's going to be peace with North Korea. Now we find out they've got tunnels with extra missiles and things in it. What's going to happen in Iran? What's going to happen in Europe? What's going to happen in America? And why do all of these problems seem to come down on America? Does the Bible have anything to say about this? Does the Bible have anything to say about America specifically? Well, we will see. The answer is yes. But let's first look at what the Apostle Paul wrote that the last days are going to be like. Because this is the cause of every problem we have can be summed up in one sentence here, and then expand that out around the world and start with America. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days, that's where we're living now, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self. There it is, right there. Lovers of self, lovers of money, braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage despisers of those who do good, betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now the strange thing is this, verse 5, having an outward appearance of godliness, but denying the power of true godliness. But as for you, turn away from all these. Now that's the same plea that is in the Bible. It's called repent and be baptized. Come back to God. That's the only thing that is going to work in the situation the way that it is now. You have to come to God on His terms. This sentence in verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, that means men and women, starts with selfishness, everything turned inward, hateful to people outward. And why have we come to that? If you ask most people think, well, we're good people. Well, then why do we have so much crime? Why do we have so many mass shootings? Why do we have robberies and stealing and killing? Why do we have troubles overseas? Why do we have troubles at home? Why do we have the southern border being invaded? Why do we have all the drug problems, and the drugs come from across the southern border, 70% of all the drugs?
More heroin, cocaine, and meth cross through San Diego's border than anywhere else in the U.S. It's a fight on land, underground, and on the seas. Today, this border protection team is on the hunt for sailboats, yachts, and pongas, small fishing boats from Central America carrying migrants and narcotics. In 2018 alone, Border Protection's Air and Marine Division has stopped 54 vessels here, already almost double last year's. The operation starts as far away as South America, where the Coast Guard has already seized 265,000 pounds of cocaine bound for the Pacific U.S. this year. One of those ways when they can't go over the wall is going under, digging tunnels that connect with the sewers here.
We had one tunnel in there. They pulled 34 tons of marijuana out of there.
You're fighting this on every level. Choppers on the sea, aircraft.
Vessels, absolutely.
In this ongoing battle to stop drugs, the front lines are rarely defined borders.
Well, I want you to write for this book, two nations that changed the world, America and Britain, their biblical origin and their prophetic destiny. Think about this for a minute. How many nations in the world know their past history? Well, look at Greece. They can go back well over 2,000 years, probably close to 3,000. Look at China. Look at Russia. Look at the Arab nations. They all know where they came from. They know who they are. But here in America, we don't know who we are. Who are we as a nation that started out with the pilgrims and most of the immigration came from Europe? Why did it come from Europe? Well, this book explains it. And this book tells you very clearly that even though some historians claim the 10 northern tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel, when they were carried off into captivity and exile because of their sins against God, and you can read that in the Old Testament, that they were never lost. They were never lost to God, and He never slacked back on any of the end-time prophecies that would come to America and Britain. And think about this for a minute. Why is it that Britain and America have ruled the world for 500 years? Now, there's a book out you might want to get, The World Without America. What would the world be like if America were to collapse economically? What would happen? And that would be the end of the nation. And we can see there are prophecies that tell us that this is going to happen and why it's going to happen. Now, you also need this booklet, Why Christianity is Failing in America, because that is the key to understanding the problems, and the other key is to know, who are we? The Bible tells us. In America, we have the most of the 10 tribes of Israel, from all of the 10 tribes. And others of those are settled in northwestern Europe and Britain. And so look at the similarity of the problems that all of these nations are having. Now let's come to the book of Hosea. And let's see something very important, Hosea 4. Because this tells us why we're having these problems. Why the nation is in a mess. Why? There seems to be no solution. And I'll tell you, there is a solution. And we'll see what that is. And you need to ask yourself a question. Am I willing to seek the solution of God in my life? Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, will you hear? Will you listen? Will you agree with God? What is it that you will do? You look at the problems. Now, maybe where you are might not be quite so bad. But look at other parts in America, how terrible it is. Here in California, we've been burning almost all summer. And well over 1 million acres have been burned. Because of what? Well, we'll see here in just a minute. Hear the word of the Lord, children of Israel. Just put America there, or put your name there, or put your community there, your town. Now, there was a lovely town in California called Paradise. It was so lovely in the mountains, lots of nice, beautiful trees around it. Oh, it was a lovely place. Today, it is burned flat to the ground. Nothing left.
Breaking news now, the death toll rises to 56 in the Camp Fire burning in the northern part of California. At this hour, authorities are trying to find 130 people who are still missing. The blaze is being blamed for destroying 9,000 homes. The town of Paradise is pretty much destroyed. Right now, firefighters are on the front lines of another fire burning near Malibu.
Why do tragedies like these keep happening and multiply? We'll see right here. And the answer is, you have forgotten God. Let's see what he says. The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Now, when God has a controversy, and those who are supposed to be the religious teachers do not tell people what is wrong, do not tell people that their sins are causing them problems, then who's going to tell them? And God responds by doing things like fires, like invasion of immigrants. Those come because of sin. And you look at all the sins that are listed right here as we go through. There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And you go to some of these religious channels and you see, yes, most of it is, they read some parts of the Bible, they say things to make people feel good, but they don't tell them about their sins, and they don't tell them what God requires. Now, we're going to see there are three words that tell you everything about God. Obey my voice. You might say, well, how can I obey the voice of God? It's written so you can read it. And God has caused so many Bibles to be in the world that no one has an excuse. How about you? Have you been searching out the Bible for the truth? Do you love the truth of God? Do you really, really? By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Doesn't that describe this nation completely? Yes, indeed. And what is the worst blood? The blood of abortion. Innocent. And we are guilty of over 60 million abortions since it was made legal. But you need to understand, when lawlessness against God is made legal in the land, and there is no change, automatic, just like the law of gravity, the judgments of God come. Notice what he says, verse 3, therefore shall the land mourn. It's being burned up, isn't it? Flooded out, isn't it? Tornadoed out, isn't it? Hurricaned out, isn't it? Hot weather, cold weather. The land mourns. Everyone who dwells in it shall languish with the beast of the field and with the birds of heaven. Yes, the fish of the sea shall also be taken away. Here in California, they canceled the salmon fishing run last year. Wonder when they will have to permanently cancel it because no fish come.
The population is so low now that when these natural events happen, that could be what tips them over the edge into extinction.
We should be seeing nests of eggs here in the gravels.
This nearly dry creek has been an essential part of the struggle to save the salmon.
Scott Creek is what we call our ground zero.
The creek runs beside a hatchery that raises and releases about 40,000 fish each year. Even in a good year, only about 400 of those, just 1%, survive to return to lay their eggs.
If you look at all these rocky outcroppings, the fish has to swim over each and every one of those.
Obstacles begin miles away at the ocean. Where we're standing right now, this should be a rushing river coming out to the sea.
We should be seeing fish coming in and fish going out.
There is so little water this year, the creek stops before reaching the ocean. Salmon trying to return to the creek to lay their eggs have nowhere to go.
Situation is dire. The drought makes it more dire, but it is not hopeless.
What hope there is comes from the hatchery that each year keeps some salmon to harvest their eggs. That precious supply, protected behind the locked door of an incubator, provides one more chance to keep the species alive. John Blackston, CBS News, Davenport, California.
You want to know what's wrong in America? Right here. Verse 6. My people, Israel, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yet the prophecy said, knowledge shall increase at the end time. And that is true. Industrial things, machinery, scientific knowledge, but also the Word of God. But how many people who drive in their wonderful cars really read the Bible, hear the Word of God, keep the commandments of God? Just like if you drop something, it's going to fall to the ground because the law of gravity always works. All the commandments of God are based upon what is needed for all human beings. He's the creator of us all, and all his commandments are for our good. Destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. That is the knowledge of God. Do you know your Bible? Do you understand the prophecies? You need to get this book, America and Britain in Prophecy. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being a priest to me. Now think about that a minute, because America and Britain were to be those two nations that would bring the whole world the knowledge of God. But they all have failed, both of them, because they have turned to their own religion. They have made a religion out of what should be the teachings of God. And they have rejected, especially the first four commandments, which have to do with our relationship with God. And those must come first. Yes, a lot of them preach the last six commandments, but that's less than half of the story. I will reject you from being a priest to me, since you have forgotten the law of your God. Now listen to this. I will also forget your children. Aren't the children today forgotten? Look what's happening. How many mothers stay home, take care of the house, are there when the children come home from school? How many children are shoved off onto some digital device? And that amounts to their contact.
Using a cell phone or an iPad as a parent, as a babysitter for your child, is causing your child great, great harm. They feel that all of their interaction is coming through that device versus through face-to-face interaction. And again, that the negative consequences of not having it don't matter to them, that they feel that they must actually have it to feel okay.
Dr. Mary Berg, a clinical psychologist, says you can tell when your child is addicted, when they can't do their homework because they can't put down the device. They would rather socialize with the device rather than face-to-face. And they're not sleeping because they must be using the device at all times.
Using a cell phone or an iPad as a parent, as a babysitter for your child, is causing your child great, great harm.
Cell phone and tablet use can lead to aggression, developmental delays for language and speech because they rely on the devices to communicate. And they're having trouble critically thinking on their own, leading to learning disabilities. And the lack of movement can then lead to obesity.
You think about it for a minute. The family, they all get up in the morning. Everybody gets ready. Kids go to school. Mom and dad go to work. Kids come home from school early, and no one is there. Look at all the problems that are caused because of that. All of the sex problems, all of the drug problems, all related to the parents and the society and the government rejecting God. As they were increased, they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. And we're seeing that happen every single day. You just watch the news and you will see it's happening exactly like this. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity, and it has become like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. They shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and not increase, because they have stopped taking heed to the Lord. Now look at what happens. Sums it up in this one sentence here. Verse 11, whoredom and wine, and you can put in their drugs, and new wine take away the heart, unable to understand truth. Wrong affections, wrong thinking, everything turns backward. Now let's come and see what God wants us to do, okay? What you need to do. Now let's come to the book of Amos, the 5th chapter. Think on this. God is so great, and he keeps a track of all life everywhere, and how he does that is quite a fantastic thing. He says, if a sparrow falls, he knows it. Now think about everything else, and think about probably the verse that you have heard more than ever before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. And people have said, God's love is unconditional. Well, you know, that's not true. God's love is everlasting, but it is conditional. Now, we'll see it right here. In verse 4, here's what we need to do. Now, before we get to verse 4, let me tell you something. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the seven eyes of God. And the seven eyes of God are directed by Christ. And these seven eyes are special spiritual beings that can constantly are searching for those who are seeking God. So that's where we need to begin. That's where you need to begin. Have you ever thought about seeking God? Well, how do we seek God? Number one, stop sinning. Look at the Ten Commandments and see which ones you're breaking. We've covered that in so many things that you could go through any one of our 425 church at home segments that we have. Okay? So seek God. And how else do you seek God? By repenting, by admitting your sins, by confessing them to him. So it says here in verse 4, thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and you shall live. Do not seek Bethel. Now, what is Bethel? Bethel was the place that was called the house of God. And it was turned into a whole paganistic orgy religion. So don't go there. Nor enter into Gilgal, nor pass down to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go to exile, Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord, and you shall live. Lest he break out like a fire on the house of Joseph and devour it. Think about that, California. Hasn't that happened? And California is one of the most sinful states in the world. Against God. Hateful. So if you don't change, it's going to get worse. Because as we will see, these things come in cycles. So it says, verse 8, seek him who created Pleiades and Orion, who turned the deep darkness into the morning, and him who darkened the day by night. Seek him who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. And that's who you need to return to. That's why it says in the New Testament, repent and be baptized. You have to repent of your sins and be baptized. Now, you write for our booklet on baptism. Most baptisms in most churches are only phony things because the people never follow through and love God and keep His commandments, see? So you need to think about it. If you've been baptized, you need to ask yourself the question, really, was this a good baptism? Do I really have the Spirit of God? Do I love God? Do I keep His commandments? So it's got to start with you. Come down here to verse 12. For I know your many transgressions and your many sins. Don't you think that God knows? Yes, indeed. If a sparrow falls, and He knows that, doesn't He know everything that you do? Yes. How can He know that? Because everything that you see, you say, you hear, and you do is recorded in your mind and on the spirit of man, which gives your brain mind power. And if you don't have the spirit of man, you're dead. A corpse. No life. A little sidebar. You don't have an immortal soul. You have the spirit of man, which God gives to every human being at conception, and God is no respecter of persons. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. Well, I don't know how many of you saw the Swamp Watch the other night. Watch it.
And we are going to drain the swamp.
That pledge was one of the main reasons people thought Donald Trump would be different. He told the truth about our political system because he came from outside our political system. He told the truth about establishment elitist candidates like Hillary Clinton and, frankly, Jeb Bush, that they were the puppets of their donors. Everyone knows that's true, but no politician had ever said it before because it was true of all of them. Donald Trump told the truth about the way that laws get made and your tax dollars get spent to favor the interests of the well-connected elites with their dodgy lobbying and their smug dinner parties and their fake think tanks peddling policy ideas that are really just more lobbying in disguise. He exposed the corrupt revolving door between big business and big government, the way that so many swamp creatures in Washington, D.C. think of their time in Congress or the federal bureaucracy, not as serving the public, but as a way to make millions once they've left.
And turned the poor aside in the gate. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silent in that time, for it is an evil time. Now notice, verse 14, this is what you need to set your mind to do. Seek the good, not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as you have spoken. Now notice, hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. So that's quite a thing. What is your life? Where are you going? What are you doing? Now, we've got a book entitled From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. And the way that religion has cheapened and diminished everything in the Bible, they do not understand the great and glorious plan of God for every human being that comes to God in repentance and yielding to God and loving Him and obeying Him. So what about you? You write for our book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.